listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back. We're joined by my friend and colleague at the Center for Security Policy, our executive vice president. He is the man who you see at Fox and are watching on various videos and the Free Fire blog and so much more. He's an outsized contributor to the public policy debate, drawing in part upon his background as a Green Beret. He is, of course, Jim Hansen. Jim, good to have you. Thanks for joining me.
Always a pleasure, Frank.
Let me ask you about the speech last night. And Jim, I'd be particularly interested in what clearly was the emotional and, in many ways, the substantive high point of it as well. And that was the very moving tribute to the widow of Chief Petty Officer Ryan Owens, a Navy SEAL killed in Yemen in a recent raid. He talked about the sacrifice, but also the importance of the mission. Give us your take on it as a former operator who performed those kinds of feats of derring do for all of us.
Well, first of all, I thought the speech was just a home run. I mean, I talked to people who are not Trump fans, and they said it actually felt like he became the president. So I think he finally found a way to connect. And then, as you mentioned, when he took the time to call Karen Owens out and tell her her husband's sacrifice was not in vain, it was respected, his name will not be forgotten, that is huge, not just to her, but to every other military family. And then, as you said, he also pointed out that the raid itself was a success, according to General Mattis, who's got no business at all and never would be someone to just make a political statement. So she's been having to listen to all this garbage by armchair generals talking about, oh, this was poorly planned, this was nothing. People who knew nothing about it were using Chief Owens' death for political purposes. She got to hear from the President of the United States that this raid mattered, her husband's life mattered, and someday her kids are going to see that. And they're going to know that their father stood for something. And I think that was a beautiful moment for the whole country.
It was. And, of course, for the military. But you're right. I think for all of us who need to appreciate how important what you guys do is to us as well. And, Jim, one of the things that I think is really important about this speech is that among other points that he made, and he did so, obviously, with great deliberateness, was his continuing conviction that we confront on these foreign battlefields and here at home a phenomenon that he describes as radical Islamic terrorism. There's been a lot of to-ing and fro-ing about that term, including reports in the New York Times and elsewhere that his new national security advisor doesn't like that term. I trust that the fact that he used it again last night puts to rest any question as to whether that is, in fact, the enemy as he conceives it and the enemy that he intends to eradicate from the face of the earth. Your thoughts?
Well, Frank, I think what was going on was a discussion about how to externally discuss the enemy and what terms to use. And I was told that McMaster asked President Trump to remove the phrase radical Islamic terrorism and replace it with Islamist. Now, that may not seem like a big distinction to some people. And in the end, you know, we could get into thumb wrestling over the semantics of it. But I think the bottom line is President Trump is determined to not show any weakness at all about this enemy, not be in a position where anyone has any doubt at all about his commitment to keeping the country safe, both abroad and at home. And I commend him for that. You know, that is something that was sorely lacking. We had the exact opposite of that during the Obama administration. And that was one of the reasons during the campaign that President Trump was such a fresh voice on this topic for those of us who, you know, toil in those trenches, you, I, and all the rest of us. We wanted to hear someone actually name the enemy and say they're going to take the fight to them. So I think that's important. And I think there's probably less daylight between McMaster's position and Trump's than the media would like us to believe. And in the end, I think there will be a coherent policy from the United States towards our enemy. And I think all of that is tremendously good news.
Well, and absolutely essential. Let me ask you about another figure in the White House who has also come in for a fair amount of press scrutiny and criticism of late, and that is Dr. Sebastian Gorka. His exact portfolio is a little unclear to me. I know he's a deputy assistant to the president, I believe working with Steve Bannon, and of course, I'm sure working closely with General McMaster as well at the National Security Council. What do you make of the effort to vilify him, and does he get this basic strategy right, to your way of thinking?
I think the attacks on him are pretty easy to comprehend. The left is doing everything it can to stop the president from implementing his agenda, the one we just discussed, a fight against radical Islamic terrorism and many of the other policies. Sebastian Gorka understands our enemy deeply. He has written about them. He's written a great book about defeating jihad. He's basically devoted his adult life to learning about and developing strategies for taking these guys on. He falls more in the McMaster camp than perhaps the direct frontal assault camp. And I think, again, this ends up being an argument more about how you refer to the enemy in a way that's effective in gaining allies from the Muslim world. You know, we obviously have allies in Jordan, in other places where we want to work with Muslims who will help us against the enemy. And so, you know, McMaster is definitely of the belief and has proven he can generate alliances. And I think Gorka sees that somewhat too, but I don't think anyone should really doubt their core commitment and their knowledge that this is not just the violent jihadists, it's also the civilization jihadists, the Muslim Brotherhood and other groups that try to basically, through less violent means and working inside of society, to accomplish the same goal as the jihadists. So I think they get it. I think it's more an argument about what we call them in public for the purposes of forging those types of alliances.
Yeah. Well, a key test of all of this, of course, will be, does the president go forward with something he's been discussing to some extent externally, and I gather somewhat extensively internally, namely the designation of the Muslim Brotherhood. And Jim Henson, I wondered if you read the term that he used, beachhead for terrorism, the way I did, which is that he was talking not just about the danger of importing more of these Sharia supremacists, but also talking about the infrastructure in this country that the Muslim Brotherhood has been building for decades that really constitutes that beachhead for the people who will seek ultimately to use violence to take us down. And if so, Jim, if you regard this report that the Muslim Brotherhood is getting something on the order of $5 million, I've heard as much as $12 million, to run a PR campaign to suppress this designation effort as just further evidence of the malignancy of that group.
You know, Frank, I think one thing that a lot of people missed in the executive order that, you know, banned immigration or paused immigration from the seven countries was the fact that there was a paragraph in there and a lot of other supporting language that said, if you do not share basic American values, if you believe the Constitution is not necessarily supreme, if you believe in honor killing, if you believe in other things that are fundamentally un-American, you have no business coming to America. That was in there. And it basically instructed our security agencies to figure out how, in addition to vetting for terrorists, you can vet for people whose core beliefs do not comport with ours. That's what the Brotherhood's about. That's what those other groups are about. So I think President Trump has that. I think the phrase you mentioned from his speech last night is almost certainly a reference to both of those things. And I think he is committed to ensuring that we don't give away, you know, our freedoms by default, let alone let terrorists. So I think he is committed to both. I hope we do see action on the Muslim Brotherhood bill. They will do their dirtiest to, you know, dirty the water and kind of pretend they are not who they are. But I think we can shine a light on them. I think President Trump already understands it. And hopefully we can get these policies in place to stop them from doing what they've been at for decades.
Amen. Well, that's what we're about for sure at the Center for Security Policy under your leadership. Jim Henson, thank you so much for all you do. Keep it up. Come back to us again next week if you would. Next up, we'll talk with Diana West a little bit about the speech and about the Democrats' curious response to it. That and more straight ahead.